Welcome to the Mom Forum. I am your host, Alicia Wilson Beach. I am birth mom of three, adoptive mom of one, and stepmom to four. Yes, you counted that right. That is eight kids. And over the years, I have been known to completely overshare my story of motherhood. And I started this podcast to be able to share the common and maybe not so common experiences of motherhood from women of all walks of life. So thank you for joining me for these intimate mom-to-mom conversations, following each of my guests' journey through motherhood. These stories are honest and vulnerable. There's a little bit of humor and a whole lot of relatability. And my hope is that you can see yourself in one of these stories and know that you are absolutely not alone in this crazy journey through motherhood. I am so happy to have you as a listener of the Mom Forum podcast. And if you would like to further support us, you can become a patron of ours. Just visit us at patreon.com/themomforum, and you can support us with a monthly subscription at the $3 level, $5, or $7. It's just a tiny monthly payment that will add up to a ton of support here for the work that we do at the Mom Forum. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and please share these episodes. And if you could take a moment, we would love to hear a review and your thoughts on the Mom Forum podcast. Today, I am sitting down with Lucy Riles. She is the founder of Life of Mom and is married to Tom Riles, who is the founder of Life of Dad. And she and I bonded immediately. We have a connection that most mothers probably would not like to share. Both of our firstborn were born with congenital heart defects. Her daughter had open heart surgery at 3 months old. My son had open heart surgery at 8 months old. And she so openly shared her journey through that process and also her journey to becoming a mother of three, which included a miscarriage and stillbirth and postpartum depression and anxiety. And she bares her soul and just shares all of the things that she went through and how she got to the other side of it. And I think I found a forever friend in this mama. We spoke for quite a while, and even after the mic went off, we spoke for at least another hour. And I can now call her a dear friend. So I really hope that if you have experienced any of the things that Lucy has, that you can relate to part of her story. And she just so beautifully opens up herself and shares every piece of it. And I hope you enjoy it. Thank you so much, Lucy, for sitting down with me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so honored.
I can't tell you how excited I am to have this conversation with you, because you are a fellow heart mama. You have a little heart warrior.
I sure do.
But first, tell me a little bit about yourself and who you're a mama to.
Okay. Well, I am Lucy Riles. I am a mama to three kids. My oldest, Barbara, is 9. My middle is 7, little boy. And my youngest is 3.5. And then I have 2 dogs and 1 husband. And they keep me busy. It's a wild ride, but I love it.
Yeah. And your husband is also a blogger.
Yes. So my husband is a blogger too. And actually it all stems back from our heart story. So I'll get into that too. But I am the founder of Life of Mom, as well as my husband, who's the founder of Life of Dad. Now, Life of Dad started 9 years ago when our oldest was born.
Yes.
And Life of Mom started about 3 years ago when my youngest was napping 3 times a day. And I'm like, oh, I have all this time.
You came up for air.
Oh, I have all this time. Let me make a meme here and there. And then she stopped napping for 3 times a day. And I'm like, oh, I guess I don't have it. No. So it's been great. It's been really just super rewarding to be able to create this online community for parents where, you know, Life of Dad is celebrating the journey of fatherhood. Mm-hmm. And mirrored to that same sentiment, Life of Mom is celebrating the journey of motherhood. So it's been really rewarding for sure. Yeah. I feel like it's like, as you probably know, it's like another child I'm like nurturing and taking care of constantly, but I love it.
And I shared with you earlier, but I'll just mention it, that your husband reposted my breastfeeding photo on Life of Dad and started all of this.
And the snowball. That makes me so happy. When you were like, I have a confession, I'm like, did he not credit your photo?
He like, totally did.
Because I was ready to be like, babe, you should know.
He credited. I ended up writing a blog and bam. Super, total change of life track.
Super viral. That makes me so happy to hear. And I'm excited to tell him the story too, because I tell him a lot. I'm like, babe, you have no idea how many lives you're impacting and helping change for the better. Especially like there's a lot of dads, some single dads, working dads, just dads trying to figure it all out.
Yeah.
That will write in and ask for advice or like, you know, vent their situation, and there's just such a supportive community there to kind of help boost them up. So I do the same for moms, but I feel like there's a lot of platforms that really celebrate motherhood in that way. So I'm definitely not the only person doing that, but I feel like Tom really honed in on this niche almost a decade ago. Mm-hmm. That really wasn't existent for dads quite yet. Now there's more, much more dad bloggers, but 9 years ago, it was really limited. And he was like, there's nothing for dads. I'm going to create the biggest, community for dads worldwide. And he kind of did. And I was like, I remember when he got 5,000 followers and it was like a huge deal. And I'm like nursing the baby. I'm like, just take her, go change her. Like, and he's like, oh, I got to film this. I'm like, no, just
stop with the blogging.
Yeah. Like whatever this Life of Dad thing is, just like, just help me go change the baby or take a shift. And now he's got 2.4 million followers.
Crazy.
Worldwide, and is just crushing it. So I'm really, really proud of him. He had this vision early on, and while I was kind of still in the trenches of motherhood, going from pregnancy to postpartum to nursing to pregnancy again, and you know, he was able to build this because I was home, you know, taking care of the kids and helping him film it. As you know, as a you know, you're a lot of times behind the camera, setting it up, helping, and vice versa. So we really
and
do
the steady person at home too. When your husband has the crazy schedule,
exactly. And his other job is he's the hype guy for the Ellen show.
Yes,
he's the warm up guy. So in the afternoons, he goes into Ellen, but every morning he wakes up at 4 a.m. and works from 4 to 12 on Life of Dad. And he's been able to build this like really impressive brand. So it's pretty inspiring for sure.
And he started it because of you guys' first, who was born with a heart condition.
Yes.
Like mine.
So it kind of is the ultimate making lemonade out of a lemon of a situation. We were pregnant with our firstborn, and at the 20-week ultrasound, they had detected a heart defect, and they had painted a very grave picture for us. They said, most likely we'll lose the baby. Some doctors suggested terminating the pregnancy, but we're like, you know, she's still fighting. Her heart's still beating strong, like, we're just gonna, you know, like we kind of made peace with the thought that we could lose her at any point. And obviously the second half of that pregnancy was really emotional and scary, because every time she didn't move, I'm like, where is she? Where is she? But her heart rate stayed strong throughout the whole second, like against everything we were told, her heart rate continued to beat strong. And they told us, they, meaning the doctor, the perinatologist, the cardiologist, the OBGYN, like all, we had this whole team of doctors, and they said, you know, if she makes it to birth, the best case scenario would be she'd need open heart surgery to save her life. So the second half of my pregnancy, and this is our entrance to motherhood and fatherhood for us, right? So talk about like traumatizing.
Yes.
So we, you know, we're in LA, so we have access to some of the best doctors in the world.
Absolutely.
So because we felt so helpless that we couldn't do anything with regards to the pregnancy, she was still cooking. We were going to let her cook. But in the meantime, we were going to line up the best doctors, the best heart surgeons, the best team that we could possibly get our hands on to give her the best possible outcome to survive. We had her. She came 2 days before her due date. And we had her on Friday evening. And by Monday morning, she was having open heart surgery at 3 days old. So in a matter of a day. So Friday she was born. Saturday they transferred her to Children's Hospital via ambulance. And then Monday morning was her open heart surgery. So she had open heart at 3 days old. And I, like I told you earlier, I'm the youngest of 12 kids from the south side of Chicago. Uh-huh. My family is big Irish Catholic family, and we love real hard. And to see me going through this, my family was like, you know, bombarding us with emails and calls and like, how's the baby? How's the baby? Not to mention all like the complete strangers that were praying for us, yeah, like all over. Mm-hmm. And as you know, like when you are in that kind of tragedy or crisis mode, people come out of the woodwork to send their love and their prayers. And there's churches praying for us all over the country. And we needed an outlet to update our family and friends because I was numb. I was in shock. I was in survival mode.
Oh, yeah.
As you know.
There's like, you have to go into survival mode to just function through that process. Like, exactly. There's no way.
Way to actually feel the weight of the situation until like a year later, because it is so numbing and heartbreaking, literally, we were just kind of like, what's the plan in the hospital? So Tommy, sorry, I like to make a long story longer. Sorry. So Tommy started Life of Dad, to update our family and friends on the progress of Barbara's health. Mm-hmm. So instead of calling 10 people at a time to tell them update after update, detail after detail, which is really hard to go through.
Yeah, it's draining every time you have to.
So draining. And so this was kind of this outlet to be like, you know, here's the update. Like, today was a good day. Today was not a good day. This is what happened today. These are her test results from this, you know, all that. So he created Life of Dad really to update family and friends on the progress and health of our daughter who had just gone through open heart surgery. And we had a huge following because we were blessed with a ton of people that loved us and cared about our baby. Mm-hmm. And the day of her heart surgery, she came back. Her heart was considered, the surgery was considered successful. Mm-hmm. But then the swelling got really bad.
Yeah.
And she ended up flatlining 3 times. Whew. So they closed her up after surgery because the swelling didn't seem bad. And then like hours later, she's like in recovery. And then the swelling starts. And that will, so oftentimes with kids that go through open heart, they'll leave the chest open until the swelling goes down. Well, like people were bombarding me with calls and like wanting updates on the baby. So Life of Dad, the first post was in the hospital with Barbara. I think he wrote an open letter to her prom date.
Oh my gosh.
And basically said, you know, treat her right because she is an absolute miracle and gift from God. And we are like in this moment, we're thinking about her wedding day and her prom date and those days, like, will we get to that? And, after a couple weeks, she started to improve and, she was released after 2 weeks. which is actually amazing.
Yeah, that's a pretty good
amount. I didn't know at the time, but like now that I've connected with so many heart moms mm-hmm. through the years, we were so, I mean, besides her flatlining that first night, she hit every milestone after that. So we were really lucky.
Yeah.
And so as her progress, as her health got progressed, right? So as her health progressed, Tommy's content on Life of Dad got lighter, more comical. Like at one point he wrapped her versus wrapping a burrito. And like, you know, again, I'm filming this, right? So I'm behind the cameras as we're filming our little baby versus burrito video. I think was the first Life of Dad video.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's super like low budget in our little 900 square foot condo. And, you know, slowly but surely, Life of Dad grew. And then he brought on like a handful of guys who just really believed in the brand, and they became co-founders and helped kind of build up this, you know, community for mm-hmm. dads. And they came from all different skill sets and different parts of the country. And, they really created this amazing place for dads. So, I think this past year, Forbes rated Tom one of the top parent influencers in the world,
mm-hmm.
along with like a handful of other influencers, which were all moms, by the way.
Yeah. It's a mom space.
And he was the only dad on there as the top parenting influencer that Forbes did. Mm-hmm. So he's really kind of taken literally one of the lowest points in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, we can sit here and be victims and be sad and worried forever.
Yeah.
I took on that.
Yeah.
For, you know, my anxiety and everything. But he was like, Mr. Positive, I'm going to spin this. I'm going to help other dads. I'm going to help other families. And as my mental health improved from, as you know, like you go through it. Like it's really hard to endure that.
And I'd actually like to talk about that because I even this past weekend was talking to a mom whose child got leukemia.
Hmm.
And her whole process of dealing with it, and that you have to shut yourself down to a point to deal with what you're actually dealing with.
1,000%.
I don't know about you, but our hospital stay was literally like 4 days, which was
unbelievable. Amazing.
But I almost have zero memory of what actually happened.
Like 100%.
Blackouts. Except for like we had an incident where the night after the surgery, his two chambers went on two different rates. And so, you know, all the alarms go off. It's 2 a.m. I jump up. And I have no idea what they're talking about. There's doctors everywhere. The alarms are going. Total freak out.
Yeah.
I remember that. I remember when you came back from surgery.
Yeah.
The rest of it.
Right.
I'm here.
No. So my sister was there at the time. She flew out for the birth and delivery because we knew.
Mm-hmm.
Because we knew. I mentally knew, okay, I'm not going to have this like precious moment after delivering my child, holding her and embracing her and nursing her. They took her away. There were 25 doctors in the room. Jeez. Like, no joke. So I was like, Tom, I want you to go with the baby. I will recover, you know, and I will fly out my sister and my dad because my mom had passed away. And I said, I will fly them out for my emotional support,
mm-hmm.
but you go with this baby.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would sing and pray and talk to this belly of mine for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I swear on my life, 9 years later, she is such a daddy's girl. Like, they are so close and bonded. And I swear, you know how, like, mothers bond with their babies right after birth in that golden hour, and they're on you for hours, and you're nursing, and you're having that like
those moments,
like life changing bonding time. I didn't get that with Barbara, but I will tell you, because I didn't have that like mother daughter moment, my husband, I put a lot on him to help me in that time, and he has such an immense bond with our daughter because of being there for her from from day one, in that first minute of life, being rushed up to the NICU with all the doctors and having that familiar voice and him singing and praying and talking to her in her voice as like all these people are poking and prodding her. But I know for a fact, like when you talk about like the blackout stage, 100%.
Yeah.
Like my sister took photos, and if she didn't, and I remember at the time, like, why is she taking photos? This is so sad. This is like the saddest memory of my life. Why is she taking photos? But literally, it would have been such a daze, a blur, because I feel like my body literally had to numb itself. And people are like, I don't know how you did it. And I'm like, I don't think I did.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like there's an inner warrior in all of us. And we don't even know it exists, but in such life earth-shattering times where it's like you can't even process how hard something would be, I feel like the inner warrior inside of you takes over. And then it leaves when you don't need it anymore, but then you're like, who was that person? Who was that brave mom?
I don't remember any of this.
I'm not brave. I don't know who that person was. And I do. I feel like I look at the photos and it's like I'm looking in on this couple, this mom. I can't channel the emotion I had in that moment because it was so numbing and you're just surviving it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until a year later that it was full-blown depression, depression, PTSD, all that anxiety hit me like a ton of bricks. Yeah. It wasn't until she was better, like a year later when she was thriving.
Yes.
That's when I processed it. And that's when all the emotion hit. And that's when I fell apart, when things were going good. Yeah.
So because you have a moment to like, okay, we're okay. And then it hits you. I don't think I've actually dealt with all of it to this day, 8 years later for me.
It's a bit of a mind, curse word. The F curse word. It's a mind, it messes with your mind. So to really process it, you have to go to such a place and it's not always that fun to visit.
Yeah.
I just remember I was pregnant with my son and we went to his 20-week ultrasound and I was
terrified,
shaking and sobbing, crying, because that's when they told me about Barbara's heart. And I'm like, I mean, talk about PTSD. We're in the same hospital room. We're in the same waiting room. I don't know why I did that to myself. Like looking back, I'm like, I should have just like, can we go to a different perinatologist? Yeah. Like I often say, you don't ever fully like recover from something like that. I do feel like I'm a better person because of what I've gone through. I'm a more anxious person. I'm a little more paranoid person, but I'm also like a more compassionate person. I feel like motherhood humbled me real quick.
Whoa. To say the least.
You know, like I was brought off that cloud nine. I was kicked off that real early.
Yeah.
And I needed early on from other people a tremendous amount of support and compassion and coming from a non-judgmental place. So I feel like when I now approach mothers and what they go through, I feel like I'm at such a raw level of like, what's the word? It just, I'm trying to like formulate what I'm trying to say. I feel like in our core, we need a lot more support and a lot less judgment. And
these situations like force you to step off your cloud nine and like deal with the reality of the need for support.
Yeah.
Because I think so many of us, well, one, you never imagine a health issue when you're going to have children.
Never.
But it's like, oh, we'll just, you do. And then you, those situations force you to reach out to people to support you in it.
Right. And you see how people who've gone through what you've gone through, they share their stories and you feel a little less alone.
Yeah.
Like I remember 3 months after Barbara was born, Ellen had us on her show because Tommy works there. And throughout the whole time she was at the hospital, besides the day of her open heart surgery, he did not miss a day of work.
Wow.
So he would go, he would sleep at the hospital, drive to work, be happy and hyper and like get the crowd going. The show would end. He'd drive back to the hospital and spend the night with Barbara.
Yeah.
So, people took note of that. And so 3 months in, when we had determined she wasn't in need of another heart surgery, things were looking up. And I think Ellen really focuses on those stories that are hopeful and positive and have a positive spin on it. So here was this girl, against all odds, she survived a really scary time, and look at her now. And I was like, I was still numb, but I'm like, I'm going to go on Ellen only because I want to show all those people that prayed for her and kept us in our thoughts. This is who you prayed for, and look at her today. And I told Tommy, I'm like, I don't want to. I said, I don't want to talk because I won't be able to.
Yeah,
like, I will start sobbing. I am like, I will hold our child. You do the
you
talking.
Do all the talking, please.
Right. And just like coming out of that, I thought my sole purpose of it was to show the people that prayed for our baby, look at how well she's doing. What I did not expect, and which blew my mind, was the outpour of all the heart communities all over, all these families, all these parents of children with heart defects, charities reaching out to us saying, we want you guys to come on board with us and promote these charities. But hundreds, if not thousands, of comments and responses from different heart families. And Tommy, like, I wouldn't even be able to read them because I was
just sobbing.
But I remember, like, being in our rocking chair, like, feeding Barbara, and he would read the comments, and, like, it'd be, like, a mom from Mississippi, and she's like, you know, my son was born with a heart defect, and he just got accepted in, you know, the track team of his college, or sharing a photo of a high school kid, and this is him, playing football. This is my heart kid, or this is my daughter. So it was all these stories of hope. And I remember so afraid and not knowing the fear of the unknown of the future and not knowing what our future was going to look like.
Yeah.
And if she was going to make it to 1 year, let alone 20 years.
Yeah.
And those stories that these families gave us was hope. Those stories of hope was like something my community of family and friends couldn't provide me because they hadn't been through it.
Yeah.
Like, I love my family, but they've all had rock star pregnancies.
Yeah.
They've all had healthy children. They don't know the cross that I've carried, nor do I know the crosses that they've carried, you know, but to be able to connect with other heart families and heart moms that have lived through that, you know, element of terror and fear and worry, but also seeing your child overcome it, like,
yeah.
You celebrate the littlest things, right?
Really. And over time, I mean, we've gone through the heart surgery and now Jackson is doing incredibly well. He's like the strongest kid. And
aren't they so strong? Yeah, they're so strong and resilient.
Yes.
Like the biggest fighters.
And now it's like the thing that I'm like, oh my God, am I going to survive this?
Right.
But he, from day one, has been like, nothing is getting in his way. And now he's like a state qualifying gymnast. And
stop it.
Yeah. The kid does not stop. He never stopped. Even after the surgery, I'm like afraid to pick him up. And he's like, walking.
Oh, yeah. Remember you had to like hold them like, you couldn't hold them under the arms. You had to like cradle them.
Yeah.
I remember my mother-in-law once picked her up under their arms. I'm like, no.
Freaking out.
Yeah, they were so fragile and you're so like, you had them in this little bubble. If someone coughed, it was like, who is that?
Yeah, get out.
Stay away from my child. And now I do think there's an inner fighter in them from day one because they've fought for their life at such a young age.
Yeah.
They've been resilient and overcome something that many people don't experience in their whole life.
Yeah. Even though they're so young, I think it just is bred into them at that point.
100%.
Like, even Jackson has like this ridiculous threshold for pain. Like normal things that would freak a child out. He's like, yeah, whatever. Like really? He got stitches and he's like twiddling his thumbs. Mind you, if you try to straddle him down to give him a shot or take blood, I can see the trauma from that all the months of pricking and prodding. And
right. No, today. So you guys don't know this, but I was 30 minutes late to this podcast because I had my daughter's annual heart appointment,
mm-hmm.
and even though she's not showing any signs of heart failure, it's always a trigger.
Yeah.
Like going to that office and getting, so we had the EKG done, we had the echocardiogram done, and it looked like I've gotten fairly good at reading.
Yeah,
the markers.
Standing now,
right?
Looking at the oxygen numbers.
Yeah. Like if it's beating red and blue, it's good. If it's a little orange, there's a carryover or backwash, so that's not good. Anyways, so I'm watching the markers and I'm watching, but I'm like, I'm finding myself like, my heart's starting to beat. My heart's starting to beat. And I'm starting to go there. I'm starting to think, what if? What if is today? I have these conferences coming up. I'll cancel all that. We'll have. And next thing I know, I'm like driving white knuckled to the appointment. Like, oh, I'm there. I'm in that state of dread. Like, what if today is the year that we get told she's starting to show signs of heart failure? Mm-hmm. Because for us, that is knocking on wood. For us, we don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and what was the congenital heart defect she had?
So she has she was born with aortic stenosis. Stenosis is like, think of an hourglass. That was what was happening to her aorta.
Okay.
So the blood was pumping through, but then it'd get really narrow and hard. And the fear is that the aorta could rupture and burst because it wasn't able to get through. So basically they had to open up the aortic arch. She had a coarctation of the aorta and she had a bicuspid valve. So she had three different things going on. And they were going to put a pig valve in, but the heart surgeon that we had, who happens to be like best of the best, and he's also who Jimmy Kimmel just used his son.
Yeah.
And he took her own tissue, opened up her aorta using her own tissue instead of a pig valve, which just by default saved us like three different surgeries
That's
we would have had. Because she's nine now. Every time she grew, we would have had to go in and replace the pig valve to her size.
Mm-hmm.
So this doctor single-handedly saved us, not to mention millions of dollars, saved us from additional surgeries.
Will she need another one? Possibly? You don't know.
We don't know.
Okay.
You know, when it happened, the doctor said she might need a heart surgery next year. She might need one when she's a teenager. She might need one when she's in her 20s. It just depends on how the tissue holds up, how it grows with her. Like one of her valves a little leaky and it backwashes, but it's not enough to go back in for a heart surgery.
Yeah.
So we're kind of at the will of her body at the hands of her body of what will happen. But I'll tell you this, for the first couple of years, I lived with the dread of we're going to need to go back.
Yeah.
And it was a really bad place to be in all the time. Like, so I suffered a lot with like mental health issues. And at some point you just gotta get the right therapy, get the right treatment and realize, okay, like work through this trauma because you can't be a mother in that kind of state of mind.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, obviously.
You do it, but it's not the healthiest.
Yeah, it's not a way to live. And so I've gotten better at not waiting for the shoe to drop. But I also find myself, like, I don't get super, super, super confident or hopeful either. Like, I just kind of, like, wait in this kind of middle ground. Like, I try not to get too negative and try not to be, like, overly positive and confident. And I just kind of, we're good today.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Mom Self-Care Planner. As a mother, you take on a ton of roles. Mom, taxi driver, cook, housekeeper, activities coordinator, holiday planner, house manager, wife, lover, employee, caretaker, the list just goes on. And balancing all the roles that come along with motherhood can be overwhelming. And the next thing you know, there is no room on the to-do list for you. But mamas, we have got to prioritize our self-care or we become burned out, stressed out, and completely overwhelmed. But that is not easy when you are a mama. It takes a little bit of planning and a little bit of work. And the Mom Self-Care Planner is designed to walk you through creating a personal plan for the daily practice of your self-care to support you in your mental, spiritual, social, physical, and emotional health. This will help you better manage your stress levels, feel less overwhelmed, be more resilient when those kiddos are driving you nuts, and leave you as a happier and healthier mom. So get your Mom Self-Care Planner today. Click on the link in our show notes. And as a listener, just type podcast into the discount code and you will get 10% off your purchase.
We had TAPVR. Don't ask me to recite what that means.
but do they know your story? Have you told?
I haven't shared it on the podcast, but through my blog. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So tell me a little backstory.
He was diagnosed at 3 months from a really overzealous pediatrician, which I think maybe he didn't share how nervous he was because he sent me the day that he thought something was wrong. So he demanded that I go see the doctor, which we found out we're at the same doctor's office.
Yes. Just different doctors. Yeah, we had the same. Yeah.
And so it was, we didn't know anything was wrong throughout the pregnancy and for his first 3 months. It's just that he was basically falling off the growth chart.
Mm-hmm.
And when we found out, I was just about to go out of town the next day.
Oh, no.
So, and I was supposed to be celebrating my mother-in-law's birthday.
Oh my gosh.
And he gives me this whole diagnosis, which my poor husband had to hear over the phone in New Orleans.
Oh my gosh.
And there was no video chat at the time. Mm-mm. So we couldn't, or it had just started. So he's like trying to understand this over a phone.
And being so far away.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard.
And mind you, we went in just
and
in case.
And you not having him there for your support.
My mother-in-law was with me, thank God.
Oh, good.
And we weren't expecting anything.
No.
It was a just-in-case visit, or at least that's how it was communicated to
me.
Right. So after we get the diagnosis, I think I immediately went into shock.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the, oh, no, we're fine. We're fine. We're fine. I'm just going to go to lunch now. I'm feeling a little lightheaded, but it's fine. We're all fine. And I go to stand up, and I almost pass out.
Yeah.
And it just, I think I just went immediately into shock.
Mm-hmm.
And because I never you're not fine. Sit down and absorb this. I never got to that point.
Right.
Because I went home, and I Googled.
Mm. Never again.
No. And all these pictures with wires and all kinds of
things. It's always the worst case scenario is at the top of the search.
I mean,
it's better to go to like a Mayo Clinic or one of the more designated websites that are like official that can like
no idea because yeah. My first thought is I'll educate myself about everything
and, no I know
and as soon as I saw those pictures I was like yep we can't do this is not happening can't do it but actually the crazy thing is that the pictures that I saw when my child first came out of surgery, and you know they have all the wires coming out of them and you see the cut down the middle of the chest, was like the most relieving moment because you know they made it out of surgery alive without any problems. And so you can move on to the next fear.
Right. Where did he have his surgery?
At Children's Hospital.
Who was his surgeon? Dr. Starnes?
Christine, I can't remember her name. Blonde, curly-haired lady.
Oh, okay.
And she's a professor at USC, too.
Yeah, so yeah.
They're top of the top
best
of the line.
Best of the best.
Yeah. And we got in right when they opened the new pediatric unit. So we were one of the first people. Yeah.
Yeah, because guess what? Barbara had hers in the old the old unit, the CTICU, and they had a parents' ward like all the way down.
Oh gosh.
You couldn't sleep next you couldn't sleep in the room with her. You had to go down to this cinder block room with no windows, and I would have to pump, and I couldn't pump because the whole point of pumping is touch, smell, feel, like you're let down. And I was in this, like, it felt like a jail cell. It was like this tiny, depressing, dark room. And my baby's on the other side of the floor. But I've heard the new ward.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
The window seat transitions into a bed.
See, that's what you need.
And I refused to shower. Like, I didn't shower for 5 days. I refused to leave the room.
Honey, I didn't shower for 5 days last week.
To me, I
realized that.
We both had sick kids at the same time.
They all had the flu, and it was Wednesday, and I was like, oh, what is this sensation? Oh, it's a shower.
Yes.
It's water hitting my dirty ass body.
Yeah. Actually, your Instagram story made me go, wait a minute.
How many
did I shower recently? It's just that I had two get the flu, and one got like a flash version of it for like 24 hours.
And you're just, you're dealing with them and taking care of them. And then you're like, oh, wait, I haven't. So the fact that you didn't shower for 5 days when he had heart surgery is very actually.
Yes. Because the shower wasn't in the room. So I could like do like the bird bath in the room, but you had to go like down the hall. And I refused to leave the room.
Yeah,
my husband like had to drag me out while my mother was there to.
Because you could only have have two people in the room?
We had three at some point.
Oh, see, you're lucky.
They always lax the rules when my husband shows up because they recognize him. So, like, in the birth room, there's technically only supposed to be two or three people, and we had, like, six or seven. I don't remember.
Nice.
But, he would, like, have to drag perks. Me out to...
I remember my sister would just shove granola bars in my mouth.
Yeah.
Because I would walk out. I would walk out to pump because I couldn't pump in her room. And as I'm like walking down the hall, my sister's just following me with string cheese and granola bars, like shoving it.
Eat.
Because I had no appetite, obviously.
Yeah. You're just functioning. Like you're like, I gotta be here for my kid. That's the only thing that matters right now.
Right. Who cares about me? But here's the thing. If mama's not healthy, if mama isn't taking care of herself, I almost ended up back in the hospital.
Because you had
from
exhaustion. Birth.
I had just given birth. So I had birth on a Friday. And thankfully, I was able to do a vaginal birth, which is amazing.
Oh, yeah. So you didn't
So I was able to check out with her the next day.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I would have been recovering at Cedars.
With her at
Children's on the other side of the city. I mean, could you imagine? I saw all these other babies where their moms weren't there. Because
and
they were recovering.
Little tiny babies in these beds all by themselves.
I know. And then you'd see the dad come in, and you know he's torn because he wants to be there for his wife.
Yeah.
He's got the baby. So he's going from hospital to hospital. It was...
I had a friend who I later found out that our kids had the same diagnosis.
Oh, wow.
And she checked herself out against doctor's orders so that she could be with the baby. She's like, there's no way I'm staying here.
No.
Like, this is not going to work for me. So she just left. But meanwhile, you've gone through all this, and it's still a process because right. you have your annual checkups. We have them. There's not so much a chance that Jackson will have surgery again.
That's good.
As long as there's no scarring on his heart tissue, mm-hmm. we should be good. But we right. still have to go in. And I think I just don't even think about it. Just
right.
we go in. It's a regular checkup. Everything's fine.
Right.
Just it's fine. It's yeah. fine until it's not fine.
Right.
But you having more babies.
Right.
And
oh.
continuing on.
Yeah, she was my first. I've had 5 pregnancies total.
Mm-hmm.
My second was a early stage miscarriage. My third was my healthy son, Tommy, who's mm-hmm. now 7. My fourth was the stillborn son, Scotland, and that I delivered at 20 weeks. And then Katie's my rainbow baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say, like, you know, in my family, everybody had these healthy pregnancies. So that's all I knew. And yeah. that's all I thought I would have. And I was given a much different hand in life. And I don't know why. It took me a while. I had a lot of anger and, mm-hmm. and questions and issues. But I feel like I've come to peace with it. And from every heartbreak, I've been able to kind of transition that back out into the world. And I find, and that's probably why your post went so viral, is I find the most but when I put myself out in a really raw, real way, and mm-hmm. I write about my stillborn loss, or I write about Barbara's heart and what that felt like, the response is always so overwhelming. It's so supportive. There's so many people suffering in silence out there
yeah.
that go through miscarriage or loss. And it's such a sad topic that nobody wants to talk about
yeah.
it. So instead they sit and they suffer by themselves when really they need so much support. And actually, at least when you're talking about something like miscarriage, it's so common.
It's so common. It's probably... to actually carry a pregnancy to full term is a miracle. It
right.
literally is a right. miracle.
Right. With a healthy child at the end of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, no, I mean, like, I'll have girlfriends that will, you know, share, like, oh, their child had jaundice, or, oh, they really wanted a vaginal birth and then they had an emergency C-section. And then they're, like, mid-story and they're, like, I'm sorry, like, you know, I know I've never been through anything like remotely what you've gone through. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, your life is your life
mm-hmm.
and your loss, your disappointment, your hurt, your pain is real, and acknowledge it. And there's always going to be someone worse off. There's people worse off than me.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be someone better off. But like, I am your friend to be your friend. So if you want to share how it felt to have an emergency C-section happen when you had, you know, all this, you know, played out in your mind and the disappointment that followed, it's like, validate that. You know, don't feel bad for feeling bad. Like, acknowledge that hurt and that pain, and you're entitled to that, and don't feel like, oh, I shouldn't complain because someone has it worse off.
Yeah.
Like, you can own it, process that disappointment, process that emotion. Right. Because if you continue to bottle it up, it can rear its ugly head in other ways.
Yeah.
Like, it's better to just, and I want to be a friend that people feel that they can confide in me, and it doesn't have to be a tit for tat. Trust me, I want no one I love or even don't love, I don't want a complete stranger to know what it's like to go through some of the things I've been through,
mm-hmm.
we've been through. Like, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. Because we've gone through it, it's important to share so that others that have feel less alone. But it doesn't mean that other people who haven't gone through it are somehow like less validated for their own.
Absolutely.
I always say we all have our crosses to carry at different stages. Like, maybe motherhood was a breeze for you through childhood, and then teenage years, you had a hard time. Maybe something happens to your child when they're in their 20s. You just never know.
Yeah.
Right?
And so, I think it allows us, like you were saying, to have a different level of empathy, because right. you can under the raw pain that can come from being a mother is something that we can all relate to. When you worry about your child,
right,
that is a universal feeling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. And you know, like, I have a lot of, since then, like, I've had a niece that son was born with a minor heart defect, but still, like, super scary, yeah. having to go, you know, get those testing and everything done. And he had a stent put in and he's doing great now. But, you know, she's just, she was able to kind of connect with me because nobody else in our family could relate, yeah, you know? So I was happy and honored and thrilled to be there to say, I can help you through this. And Barbara can be this living, breathing, thriving example of what's at the other end of it, mm-hmm. you know? And she's here and she's awesome and strong. And that kind of message of hope, I'm now that hopeful, successful story that so many moms were to me 9 years ago when I was in the hospital reading those comments. You know yeah, what I mean?
You can share this.
Now I can be like, hey, she's, you know, our biggest challenge is that she just wants to create art and draw and express herself. And she doesn't want to do a math lesson.
Yeah.
Yay.
That's a great problem
like
to
if,
have.
If someone told me that 9 years ago, I would have hit my knees and thanked God. Like, because you had no, like, I had no idea what our future was going to be. And still, there's a lot more future to be had. But in this moment, today, she's doing good. So that's all that matters.
Yes. It makes you super thankful for that when you right. know it could be otherwise. Now, in terms of yourself, because I'm also a super big advocate of self-care.
Yeah.
What have you done for yourself to help you get through all these traumas? And I mean, there's definitely PTSD attached to this mm-hmm. and dealing with, you said there was some depression that you went through.
Oh yeah.
Because you know, we've said you got to be a healthy mom to raise healthy kids. So,
right. So I'm writing a book. Actually, I just got a literary agent 2 weeks ago. So I'm super excited. Or about
exciting.
A week and a half ago. And so I'm actually, like, all of this subject matter is top of mind because mm-hmm. I'm in the middle of, like, writing these chapters. And they're really, really raw. And they break it down mm-hmm. in a way that I feel like my husband's going to read and he's going to start sweating because I put so much out there.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like my husband doesn't suffer from mental illness. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know what it's like to go through depression and anxiety and PTSD. So that chapter's not for him.
Yeah.
You know, and I write that for those parents out there that are going through it. And there are articles linking PTSD with parents of sick children. You know, a parent that has a child with leukemia or a heart defect, whatever it is, going through that kind of emotional trauma is very triggering, especially once the child's doing better and you're just on this, like, you know, plank of, like, not wanting to fall off mm-hmm. back into the dread. Yes. Okay. So I've gone through depression twice in my life. Mm-hmm. One was the first time was a year after Barbara was doing better. So, like, after her first birthday, after that miscarriage, it's not funny at all. Mm-hmm. It was the miscarriage that triggered the depression because I had had Barbara and I was like, survival mode. Mm-hmm. Then I got pregnant and miscarried. And that spiraled me into a really dark place because I thought I was damaged goods. I can't have healthy children. My husband deserves better. Like, mm-hmm. I became jealous, insecure. Like, I went completely into a super dark place. I often say quicksand. It felt like, or not quicksand, depression felt like quicksand for me. Like I was desperate to get out of it, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
And every time I'd like try to like dig out, I'd just fall deeper. And I had never been depressed before. So I thought this was the new me. I thought, oh, this is who I am forever. I thought my husband signed up for this one girl that no longer existed.
Yeah.
I was like, of course he's going to leave me. Like I, in my mind, I'm convinced he's leaving me. I would leave me kind of situation. Yeah. It, at least in my mind, that's how I thought. And after I was done breastfeeding my son, Tommy, I started Zoloft. And it was a low dose, but between the Zoloft and the therapy and counseling I received, I was able to like get out of depression. And it was the most, it felt like I won the war, you know? Like I couldn't believe that I was I could feel happy again. I couldn't believe I could feel joy again. Like I didn't know that was possible. And it felt so good. And my husband and our relationship was better than it ever was. And because we went through this really dark time together, I feel like we were stronger and bonded closer because he didn't give up on me. I mean, I gave up on me. He didn't give up on me. And then the other time depression hit was after I lost my stillborn son. But because I had been depressed before, I knew exactly what to do. I got into therapy. I got on medication. I got into couples grief counseling. Like I was super proactive about my depression and grief after Scotland. Because I knew Scotland was the name of my son and, I knew I could get out of it again. So I was like, I need to grieve him. I need to go through this process, but I also know this is not me for life. And then, PTSD, it's gotten better with the years because we haven't had too many traumatic things happen, at least in the last 3 or 4 years. But there's still a trigger every once in a while. I mean, this morning, a trigger.
And you going never into know when it's coming. Like it just, you think you're fine and then bam, something hits you.
It can be a song, an anniversary date, a feeling, a waiting room. It can be all sorts of things. When I was in the midst of, after Barbara and losing Scotland and then the healthy pregnancies, but I wasn't healthy mentally. So even though Tommy and Katie's pregnancies were considered healthy pregnancies, my mental health was anything but. Now, anxiety is my other thing that I struggle with, and I still struggle with anxiety. You know, I do treat it. You know, I seek help when it gets bad. I believe in self-care. I was just talking about this last night to my husband's cousin. Michelle Obama said years ago, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I don't know why, how, or what, but it what she said gave me permission to take care of myself in a way that I didn't know I should or could or would do. And she said something in an interview along the lines of, I take care of myself first, and then I take care of my kids, and then I take care of my husband. Because if I'm not okay, I can't be the best mom to my kids. And it makes so much sense. Yeah. And it's very like, duh, Lucy. But it took Michelle Obama to spell it out for me. And she kind of said, you know, if I get a workout in, if I have a trip and experience something that helps me grow, I am in turn a better mom to my girls. And I'm showing them as an example how important it is to take care of yourself first and foremost. And it was in that moment where I was like, you know what? I'm not going to apologize for like a spa day or like this. So some of the ways, like I said, making a long story longer, I'm sorry, editor, whoever's editing this video, I apologize in advance. I talk a lot. I told my husband like years ago, I said, you don't have to worry about getting me or thinking up gifts. I said, you buy me something about four times a year, my birthday, Christmas, our anniversary, Mother's Day, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe Valentine's Day if we can get our act together. And I said, if you do that, if you buy me a spa day and we use like a travel voucher, travelzoo.com, mm-hmm. and you get like a little, like $100 off this spa day at like the Four Seasons, and that's my favorite thing to do. And I'm like, if you do that for me four or five times a year, that means I get four or five spa days a year where I can like go get a facial or massage, check into a hotel, like work out, have lunch at the pool, and just treat myself, right? Yes,
and have a breather.
That has been, that's a big thing. I've also like as, you know, my youngest is 3.5. So mm-hmm. now I'm like kind of past the baby phase. Mm-hmm. And even though my 3.5-year-old definitely is super needy, I feel like I'm able to go on the girls' trips. I'm yeah. able to go to mom's night out, or, you know, like a group of moms and I, we do a monthly ladies club and we do various things. And mm-hmm. then I have another group of moms where like actually in a couple of weeks, I'm going on a mom cruise. It's not called a mom yeah. cruise. It's a bunch of us moms uh-huh. going on a cruise, and it's like a 4-day cruise. But it literally, it was like, we just want to kind of like have a minute. And so I'm doing more things for myself. Yeah. And ultimately, when I created Life of Mom, that was self-care
yes,
for me.
Totally.
In this weird way, I'm still talking about motherhood. I'm still being a mom. I'm still home with my kids all the time. But I have used this platform to reach out to other moms and connect and socialize, which in turn helps me feel less alone while I'm like folding laundry yes. or like doing whatever.
Losing your mind at bedtime.
Yeah. Like, and it just kind of, the more open and honest I am, I feel like the feedback's always been really, really positive yeah. and it's made me feel better about what I'm doing and like less guilty. But I'm still capable. Like I can't say I'm like free from anxiety. I don't know if I'll ever not be an anxious person. I think I've lived through a lot of things that just
give you the right to be anxious. Yes.
Yeah. Like my therapist says, Lucy, you're not paranoid. You've actually been through like really traumatic things, which made me, oh, okay. So I'm not a paranoid person. No.
Nuts. Like, yeah.
Horrible things have happened and you're allowed to worry about yeah. stuff. But I'm working on it. You know, like I try to work out, not all the time, but like I feel like I've gotten better at putting self-care at the forefront and mm-hmm. like acknowledging.
That's a good word, though.
Acknowledging.
acknowledging. Gaining knowledge.
/ realizing that I'm at a breaking point.
Yes.
And I need to kind of hit the reset button and step away. And my husband's gotten really supportive of allowing me to do that. So we are really a team of, you know, like, yeah. like, you know, he comes home and if it's been a tough day, he sees it on my face and he just like swoops in, finishes up dinner, you know, puts the kids to bed. And I'm like on the couch with a glass of wine,
done.
Watching done. Real Housewives. And that's it. Like, so sometimes my self-care is watching Real Housewives and sometimes it's a day at a spa. I feel like little things like getting myself Starbucks. But I feel like, you know, financially speaking, everybody's in different financial places. Mm-hmm. So when I say like, oh, a spa day, like not everybody can afford that. A yep. spa day. And so someone could hear this and just slap me and be like, Lucy, don't talk about spa days. But I do feel like there's a way that you can take care of yourself within whatever financial place you're in.
Yeah. Or time.
Or time. Too. Yeah.
I just have like a puzzle over there in the kitchen that sometimes in the middle of dinner, I will just leave the table and go start working on my puzzle because my brain just needs to shut down.
Exactly.
Or I get up earlier so I can hear silence.
That's what Tommy does. That's why he wakes up so early. He's like, I just need some quiet before the chaos starts every day. And like, I really do feel like you need to channel what it is that you love, whether it's reading or working out or going for a hike or taking a nap. Like if I'm feeling if my anxiety is really elevated, I will lay down and take a nap. And like, I know like that just kind of shutting my mind off and those thoughts before they snowball is really important to my self-care. So whatever that looks like to you, I think just being really aware of, I'm drawing a blank. Just being aware of your needs. Yeah, exactly.
And also I think being okay and asking for it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you have all that going on, you feel like you can't step away. And if you do step away, you feel guilty because there's so much on your plate. And it's like, no, sometimes you have to step away. And it's okay when you need to.
And I notice when I do step away, I come home and I'm so excited to see my kids. I'm like rested. I'm recharged. I'm like, I'm a better mom to them. I just think, y'all, listen to Michelle Obama. And what she said was take care of yourself so that you can take care of your kids. And whatever that looks like, I think is really important. So,
I think that's a good note to end on.
Good note to end on. Thank you so much for having me.
We could talk for ages, and we probably will after the microphone goes off.
Easily. I love it.
I totally appreciate you joining me.
Well, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you again for joining me for this conversation on the Mom Forum, and I hope that you were able to relate to some part of this story. Please join us over on social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Mom Forum, or come give us a visit on our site, themom-forum.com, to read our new blog posts, shop our products, or check out our next event. Thank you, and we will see you the next time on The Mom Forum.